Joining us now on the phones, Nelson Cunningham, president and co-founder of McLarty Associates. He was special advisor to President Clinton on Western Hemisphere Affairs and is general counsel at the White House Office of Administration. He was also the general counsel of the Senate Judiciary Committee and an assistant U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. It's a pleasure, Nelson. Welcome to WGN.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So, Nelson, in a July 15 Washington Post op-ed piece, you said Mueller's investigation is not a witch hunt, but that Ken Starr's was. Can you share with our listeners why you believe that?
Well, I heard a lot about Trump tweeting about 13 angry Democrats working for Mueller. And I recalled that Starr's team, which I had dealt with a bit in my job at the White House 20-odd years ago, that Starr's team was full, seemed to be full of active Republicans. And so I went and spent a little time looking at the composition of Starr's team and discovered that over the course of Starr's five-year investigation, he had what you might call 36 angry Republicans working for him and a minority of people who looked like they might be Democrats. And these were not just casual Republicans. They included people like, in fact, Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, included Alex Azar, who is now Trump's secretary of labor, included a number of people who went on to senior Republican positions. In fact, two-thirds of those Republicans who worked for Ken Starr went on to senior Republican appointments. One of them is Brett Kavanaugh, who worked for Ken Starr virtually the entire 5 years, and of course is now up before the Supreme Court today.
Nelson, this idea that people's prior voting record might affect their impartiality on a probe into Russia dealings has been a central part of Trump's argument thus far. Is it an accurate reflection of how one might handle such an investigation to look into whether they're Republican or Democrat?
Well, I think we all have to start with the proposition that we all come at things with certain biases. Now, as lawyers, especially lawyers who are charged with a public trust, as those who get to serve as assistant U.S. attorneys, as I did, or as others who are serving as special counsel under Mueller, as his team is, you have a special responsibility to ensure that no one can question your impartiality. And I think that that requirement is something that most lawyers I know in public service take extremely seriously. It was one of the reasons why I think that if you look at Mueller's team versus Starr's team, on which Brett Kavanaugh served, in Starr's time, you had a large majority of active Republicans were hired by Ken Starr, who was himself an active Republican who had already served twice in Senate confirmed positions, including as a judge named by Ronald Reagan. And he, in turn, made his recommendations for impeachment to a House that was controlled by Republicans, and that then went to a Senate that was controlled by Republicans. So it was a process that was entirely Republican-controlled. Today, with Mueller, as Trump will tell you, it appears that the career prosecutors working for Mueller seem to have indications that they're Democrats, whether they've given money to Hillary Clinton or to others. None of these people are active Democrats in the sense of having been appointed to senior office as Starr's team were. But these people report to a Republican. Mueller is himself a Republican. Mueller will make his recommendation to a Republican, Rod Rosenstein. Any referral to the Congress, to a Republican Congress, and any vote will then go to a, at this point, Republican Senate. So it's a system in which, yes, you may have some Democrats at the bottom of the totem pole, but every person they up in the chain above them is of the president's own party. It's that check and balance that I think ought to give us all comfort that the process should wind up being fairer than perhaps the Starr process was 20 years ago.
Nelson, you mentioned that judge, soon to be justice, inevitably, Brett Kavanaugh, was on the Starr team. He is now in the Senate as we speak. The confirmation hearings have begun for his nomination to the Supreme Court. You, of course, were general counsel to Joe Biden, who was the chair of the Judiciary Committee when Stephen Breyer was undergoing his confirmation. Democrats have begun the hearings this morning, calling for a hold on the hearings for a couple of reasons. One of them being that there has not been the proper disclosure of documents. Another being that Kavanaugh may well be, in effect, a juror in impeachment hearings if it gets to that point, or even if the Supreme Court deals with issues like, can the president be subpoenaed? What do you think we'll hear from Judge Kavanaugh during the next few days on the president, a president obstructing justice, whether a president can be subpoenaed, given your experience with these hearings? That's a long lead up. I have one final question to you as well. Have the hearings evolved to the point where they are basically just for the cameras and more for the senators to make a show of their questions? We really, over the last few hearings, have not really seen much of substance. These candidates don't really answer much. So what are your thoughts on those two points?
Well, those are some pretty big questions, but also very timely ones. Let me start with this. When I compare Stephen Breyer's hearings 24 years ago, which I ran on behalf of then Chairman Biden on the Judiciary Committee, you know, we worked very closely with the Republicans who were headed by Orrin Hatch. It was a very collaborative process. There was very little controversy. There was no disagreement over process. We're living in a different time now. Just yesterday, there were 42,000 additional documents released related to Kavanaugh that were turned over to the committee. As Sheldon Whitehouse said, Senator Whitehouse said this morning, I can't imagine a judge in America who wouldn't delay a proceeding where one side dumped 42,000 pages of documents on the other the day before the trial was to begin. So we're in a much more contentious time today. Brett Kavanaugh himself, I think it's important to understand from his background, he has an intensely political background. He came up through the Federalist Society, an active conservative, nothing wrong with that. But it's important to know that he then used that to make his way to the Supreme Court for a clerkship, to make his way then to Ken Starr's team. For 5 years, he worked on Ken Starr's team pursuing the Clintons, trying to investigate and ultimately to impeach President Clinton. He then served in George W. Bush's White House in his White House counsel's office, and then George W. Bush rewarded him with a nomination to the D.C. Circuit. So Kavanaugh is hardly a casual partisan figure. He's somebody who's been very actively involved in the partisan debates of recent decades. It's not disqualifying, but it means that we have to assume that in his thinking, his decision-making, he will be guided by his political instincts. And he's never hesitated to lean into political battles when he's come across them in his past. I think I'll end by noting that I think that if he's asked to rule on any issues involving President Trump, especially sensitive or of documents, he might follow the example of someone I presume Kavanaugh would think is one of his mentors, Chief Justice Rehnquist, in 1974 when the Nixon, the famous U.S. versus Nixon tapes case came to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court unanimously, 8-0, ruled that President Nixon must turn over the tapes to the district court. Who recused himself? Justice Rehnquist, who had been appointed by Nixon to the court and presumably felt that he should not be seen as ruling on something so sensitive. So that unanimous decision did not include Rehnquist, who recused himself. That might be a very good example for Justice Kavanaugh, if he becomes Justice Kavanaugh, to follow.
That's Nelson Cunningham, the president and the co-founder of McLarty Associates. To learn more, www.maglobal.com. Nelson, thank you for your time.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Comp Alliance is unique in the workers' compensation industry in their ability to provide comprehensive managed care services from initiation of a claim to settlement, including 24/7 nurse triage, URAC accredited medical and vocational case management. Their suite of innovative MSP compliant solutions, including fully customizable MSA programs, professional administration, and additional cost avoidance services, simplifies the claims management process. Their focus is retaining accountability, responsiveness, and quality while tailoring their services to meet your needs. For your managed care support needs, contact Comp Alliance online at compalliance.com. Again, compalliance.com.